Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
And welcome to episode 111.
Oh my God. When are you going to stop putting a 5-second pause between those words?
I just, I panic. We were playing a little bit of Where's Eric today. We think he's in Mexico. We don't really know.
No, we got no idea.
Are you guys going down to Mexico in October? He's invited us when he goes or no?
No.
I think that was a private invite to you because I didn't get that invite.
Oh, maybe you weren't here on the recording that week.
Oh,
I won't be here next week, by the way.
After he left.
Where will you be next week, Luke?
Don't worry about it. I got plans.
On Tuesday?
We do Wednesdays.
I know. We can do Tuesday like we did last week.
I don't have plans on Tuesday, but what if the Leafs are still in the playoffs?
God.
And that's how we'll start this week's episode.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite. Producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
Martin, as a fan with no vesting interest, how are you enjoying the playoffs?
I mean, I'm in a playoff pool like with players and stuff, and I have 6 Tampa players, so I got pretty big vested interest in Tampa. Tampa Bay literally just stopped playing hockey last night. Like, what the fuck were they doing?
It really hasn't been a good series.
I don't think any series has been really good except for like Pittsburgh and New York Rangers, because
and Pittsburgh's looking good to close that out tonight.
Like a lot of, there's been so many blowouts. The Atlantic Division has been full of blowouts one way or the other. There's been one OT game in Florida, Washington really should be up 3-1. They choked on an empty netter on and then lost an OT. There's been a whole bunch of blowouts.
We'll go through each series one by one. I guess the first one we can go with is the sweep of Nashville. I didn't write them down. I don't think I wrote them down, what we said last week.
I think I said, I think you said them in 6. And Saros was out like how we all predicted, like how I said he was going to be out. Riddick got lit up for 5 goals in his first period. He played and then never saw another minute after that.
Yeah.
It went about as expected.
I had Nashville I had Colorado in 5. I thought Nashville would at least sneak one, but
they had no goalie.
Yeah. So
like, I think if they had Saros, they could have won.
You think one game?
They got to overtime one time with Ingram in net. So the other part is that they got swept even when Kemper got injured. Kemper got a stick to the eye, didn't play the last 2 games.
Yeah. So I guess that series went how we all kind of thought it would. Everything else is still, I think, potentially in the playoff bracket, we could win or lose. St. Louis, Minnesota. St. Louis is up 3-2, I believe, now. I haven't watched a game of that series, but I've been following along.
It's been pretty even, I think, like how we all thought it was going to be. Kaprizov has had an insane playoffs. He's at 8 goals right now in his 5 games.
Is he?
Really?
Yeah.
Double check those.
Yeah, he has 8 goals, or 7 goals maybe. 7 or 8.
Wow. I have not been paying enough attention to
Vladdy
that.
Tarasenko had a hat.
That's a tough. That's a tough series to follow.
Yeah,
it's later, and it's also at the same time, like as other games. Like I'll be watching, like that night I'll be watching Toronto, Tampa, and then I'll go into Edmonton, LA if I don't fall asleep.
Yeah, I'm normally asleep after like the Leafs game, so I can never watch.
I think that Fleury, like so it started out as the goaltending matchup being Billy Husso and Fleury, and then St. Louis lost, I think 6-1, and they played Binnington since then, and they've won the three of the games. Yeah, I think Fleury hasn't been great.
Kuprasov has 7 goals.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Which you is crazy.
The goalie with the best GAA in the playoffs is Eric Schallgren. Just want to great lead. Just want to throw that out there.
So that series has been pretty even. I think St. Louis is going to win, especially if they don't play Talbot.
Yeah. I'm happy I picked St. Louis. I'm still pretty confident that I think they'll pull it up, man. So many good series that should be like a second round series. But yeah. not because this is
that just means the second round's going to be good.
Well, this is besides the point, but
yeah,
Minnesota's head coach looks like Creed Bratton.
Oh yeah, he looks, I mean, he's got those insane eyes too, like he looks crazy, like Dean also Evanson or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Dean Evason.
Yeah.
We're recording on a Wednesday and we'll come out on a Friday, so this will be well known, but it's looking like Pittsburgh's going to win. They just scored again.
That's crazy. Right, this is 2-0. Pittsburgh. This is Pittsburgh up 3-1 in the series where they lost. Tristan Jarry's their starting goalie, didn't play a minute. Casey DeSmith got injured in overtime, and they have their third string Louis Domingue in net, outplaying the MVP Vezina candidate.
Yep. Well, the Vezina candidate kind of just looks like he's not built for the playoffs or something. He has not looked good he's being pulled the last two games, not looking good in this game. Like, yikes. That's yikes. He's gotta get a head back on his shoulders.
Okay. Well, we're not talking about that series right now, Martin. We're going to go in order. Okay.
Okay. Fine.
Calgary, Dallas.
Closer than people have been expecting.
Yeah, I would never figure Dallas to get two wins, let alone almost three, I think.
I don't know. After last game, though, I can see Calgary just running away with this shit.
They had 55 shots that game.
Yeah, just being like, fuck this. Like, Ottinger, we figured you out. Like, bye-bye. Because Ottinger is literally the only reason it wasn't a sweep, in my opinion.
It's tied 2-2, Martin.
Yeah, but Ottinger's stolen two games,
I know.
In my opinion.
He made one of the most insane saves on Tyler Toffoli I've ever seen.
But that was in the game they lost.
Yeah, I know.
Wasn't it?
But he only let in 2 goals on those 54 shots. I think there were 2 empty netters, right?
Yes.
So, yes. I mean, come on. The guy can't do everything out there. You're right. Dallas is not a very good team. But you know who's good also? This is besides the point. Every single time I watch Dallas, Miro Heiskanen is always great.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also, I mentioned this in the chat, but like I've seen so many times on like TSN and even on the broadcast for the game, they're like, oh, John Klingberg is leading the playoffs in penalty minutes with like 30 and whatever is 4 games. And they're like, this is some big tough guy goon. And really, he's just gotten beaten up in like 4 fights. That's the reason why he has so many penalty minutes. It's like,
and he was like chirping Anderson or something.
Yeah, he's like chirping everybody, getting in fights and just getting absolutely beaten up.
I didn't really get it, like what was happening there, but yeah, that was weird.
And he took something like personally in the first game, wasn't it?
Yeah, something about Anderson and him. I still don't get it. Still don't understand.
I am genuinely shocked that series is that close. Again, I haven't tuned into any games. I wish I could watch more games, but honestly, after the Leafs game, I just get I'm so tired. I can barely stay up for the Leafs game because they start at 7:30.
Yeah, the Calgary games all start at 10.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Okay, the next series is Edmonton, LA. LA, I said, was going to win.
Yeah.
In 6, and I think I'm going to be right about that. It's the next games in LA.
Nurse out for it, too.
Should have been out the whole series. They should have given the Nazem Kadri effect until the end of the series.
That was
they should
weird,
do that
whatever.
More. They should that do that more in the playoffs, especially is if it's like that was just ridiculous. A headbutt? Come on, man.
I get that there was no injury from it, but like just like the fact that he did whatever the fuck he did deserves.
He looked like a bull or something yeah. like that, man.
Like and have you did you watch the highlights at least of that game? Mike Smith yes. was, yeah, was brutal.
Yes, Mike Smith yeah. was not.
Duncan Keith good. Was brutal.
McDavid had to carry everyone on his back.
McDavid and then was afterwards, looking good. Yeah.
Afterwards, that four goals should be enough to score. I guess not. Or four goals should be enough to win. I guess not.
Well, again, McDavid, you chose this team.
Yeah.
You chose this general manager.
I mean, they did try to get a goalie, I guess, in the offseason and just were shut out. Like, they none of their offers worked and stuff.
Yeah, so they went with Mike. No, they signed Mike Smith pre-free agency.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah, but they... Like, I'm pretty sure they would have tried to get rid of what's-his-face, Koskinen.
Koskinen?
If they had assigned somebody else.
It's silly.
And
it's
Smith dumb. Would have been backup.
Well, you live, gotta live with it.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's interesting. I think LA, I don't know, have the Jack Adams awards come out yet? Like, the nominees?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think they come out. Is that like the GM? They don't come out till the third round of the
playoffs? No, they vote on it before. It's not affected by playoffs for whatever
no,
reason.
No, it's not affected by, but like, I don't know.
Well, they're slowly coming out. Like today, the Calder came out.
Yeah.
The Vezina came out yesterday. So they do like one every day, I think, for like the next week or so. It'll be interesting if Todd McClellan's there, because I think I saw it on a couple writers or like advanced analytics guys on Twitter being like Todd McClellan deserves one. We'll see. I still think it goes to Daryl Sutter, probably in a pretty clear sweep.
Yeah.
I think Minnesota's coach deserves some credit. I mean, there's a lot of good coaches I think this year that deserve some credit. But that all that said, yeah, it'll be interesting. Do you think Edmonton loses game six?
Yes.
I think it depends what it like. I get that McDavid and Draisaitl combined for like 6 points or something. But if
still
they can but if they can combine for like 12 points, like which I think they could, especially in a elimination game. Like,
only if they're given 7 power plays. Power play merchants, Leon Draisaitl. Literally, when I watch their games and I see that the goals that Leon scores or the passes, I'm like, these are almost always on the power play. Like, that's typically it. Okay, so we basically all think Edmonton's kind of sunk unless yeah. they get a prayer.
Yes.
Is that – I think that's pretty embarrassing. Is that true or fair to say?
Yeah. So embarrassing.
LA is like, not a good team. Jonathan Quick in net?
Like, I think yeah, Holland,
that's my guy.
Holland should be fired. LA without Doughty too, like that's nuts. I think Holland should have been fired before the start of this year, but Holland should be on his ass.
Yeah.
At the yeah. end, of, if they're out this series.
Okay, now on to the East. We'll do Florida Washington first. I wasn't expecting Washington to get 2 games, almost 3. I was sad that they didn't go up 3-1. Where do we think that series is going? 7? Do you think it's going to 7 games?
It could.
Washington up 1-0 right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Like, oh, damn. Florida hasn't been, like, again, Washington is not a good team. They're like Dallas, I think. Like, old, not very deep.
People like, are turning back the clock, though, on that team. Like, TJ Oshie looking.
Sure. Decent. But, I mean, Florida, I think this just shows that Florida won a lot of 3-on-3 overtime games. I don't know if anyone's ever looked at that. They won a lot of 3-on-3 overtime games. So,
I wouldn't mind Washington going through.
I want that
I think
to
be hilarious.
Yeah. And yeah. Florida's done after this, man. Like, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they miss the playoffs next year and they'd have no first round picks until 2026, I think.
Why would they miss next year? They're coming back with like the same team.
I don't know. I think they were lucky this year. A lot of luck, a lot of beating up on bad teams.
Okay. We'll see.
They can score. Bobrovsky in net.
Huberto is not going to go down. Barkov is not going to go down.
If you say so. What has Huberto done in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Is he not a point per game? Pretty sure.
It's 4 points. It's not saying much. Let me check. Huberto.
Point per game.
I mean, yeah. Carter Verhaeghe's over a point per game.
Yeah.
That guy will still be there.
They need a goalie. Like,
game.
I don't know. I would be scared with Bob in net, like going out and being like, yeah, Bob's our goalie. Like, we're going to win a cup with Bob as our goalie. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm confident in this guy. No. 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 That's not a good combination. On to the next.
Toronto, Tampa.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. And now we'll get back into the show.
This is not as good of a series as I thought it was going to be. I will say that. First game, domination by the Leafs. Second game, lackluster effort by the Leafs. Pretty dominated by Tampa. Of course, Toronto got like 3 goals in the third period.
It was still a very undisciplined game, I would say.
Yeah.
It was more like it.
Third game was close, but still like not a penalties.
Toronto was up 3-0.
Yeah. And they almost lost. It was 3-2. Then they were up. Then they won 5-2 on 2 empty nets. Then it was another domination by Tampa. Again, Leafs throw some shots on net, muster up a couple goals, kind of make it look a little bit closer.
Yeah. That was a poor game.
Yeah, that was also a poor game. And then last night, Leafs got dominated in the first period and then looked like the dominant team for the last two periods.
It just hasn't
been like two teams going
at it. Tampa Bay just literally stopped playing hockey.
Okay, John Cooper. Cooper.
Toronto stopped playing hockey in the first period. You could go either way with those things.
Like, yeah, in the first period.
Yeah.
And then...
I think that's a testament to Toronto. Like, John Cooper keeps saying these things. I think it's more of like a strategic play than him actually thinking that the Leafs aren't winning these games. Like, Tampa is 16-0 in the second, or 16-0 after a loss for a reason. And yes, it's because John Cooper probably knows how to get his guys motivated to come out and play. Sure. Except in a game, apparently. I don't know. I was expecting more. I think penalties and the officiating have really hurt this series. It's been like nonstop 5-on-5, 5-on-4, 4-on-4, 5-on-3, and the third period of last game was the first time where it was 5-on-5, I think, the entire time. I don't think there was any penalties. And that was the best period of hockey in the entire series, for sure. Like, both ways. Jack Campbell made some great saves. Leafs came back, and it was, like, I think a pretty fair period. But I don't think it's been great hockey.
I think it's just been too many penalties.
Yeah. And, like, at least 40% of the penalties are, like, this would not have been called in the regular season, or, like, this is a joke of a call. I don't know.
It's like, it's playoffs. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, like the whistle should be, I mean, we've had this conversation all year, and I think the NHL is probably going to be like, see what happens when we call penalties. It's like, well, these guys didn't have 82 games to adjust to this new criteria. They literally have 4 or 5 games.
And there was
a whole new officiating book.
Yeah. Literally every playoffs is like the opposite of what you're doing.
Yeah. It normally goes the other way, but this time it went, no, we're going to call everything. Like 125 penalty minutes or whatever it is for a skilled team in 5 games with like only 1 fight and maybe 2 10-minute misconducts. Kind of crazy. That's like 50 penalties, minor penalties.
What I will say about the Leafs is, I think, say what you will about the speech, whether that does anything, because I think everybody can give a good speech. Spezza looks good in that lineup when he plays even the 8 minutes that he does. He, like, that one shift that he had was like the only good shift that they had in the first period. And
that's true.
Yeah.
He's good. He's much better when they're not playing with Simmons and Clifford.
Yeah.
Blackwell was a spark on that line last night too.
Blackwell's,
I think,
great.
My only issue is on the road, the Leafs have been matchuped and destroyed. Like the Matthews line, if you look at the advanced analytics, the Shirelli's line was like 22 scoring chances for versus Matthews like 4 in those 2 games in Tampa. And like the fourth line was caved in. Like it's not a good look on the road, or it hasn't been anyways from like an offense standpoint. So that's what I'm like most worried about. And Vasilevskiy, which we want to talk about Vezina goalies and goalies not showing up. Vasilevskiy,
yeah, he's not showing up. Yeah, he's not being good.
Yeah.
Like last night, they had a goal on 5 shots. Like, I get that they ended up with like 17 shots in that period, but they had a goal on one of the first 2 shots of the second period. And I was like, holy
I mean, that was
shit,
a deflection.
Dude.
That was...
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't
It's more the Nylander goal
games.
That's
yeah.
like,
yeah.
wow.
He hasn't stolen was, anything.
He yeah. hasn't made an amazing save. Like, he hasn't done
David
anything.
David Camp sniped on him three times now.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, honestly... So
that gives me hope as a Leafs fan, but it also it me, still destroys me that he could show up at any moment.
It looked to me like last night Tampa Bay was like, we've won it twice and we're just not going to care anymore. Like, by the end of that game, like, that's what it felt like.
I don't know. I think Tampa still puts in a really good effort. I don't think they ever give up. I give a lot of credit to their team. I don't think they played that badly in the second and third period. I think they still got scoring chances. Jack Campbell was just, he stood on his head for a couple sequences.
And they had 18 shots in the first period.
At Nick LaGalle.
And seven through the next two, dude. Like,
oh, true.
Like, it wasn't good. It wasn't great.
Some of those were like high-scoring chances, though.
I still see it going to game seven. Like, I don't know. Just
the I Leafs. Don't, please, the please, please.
The Leafs tenure, like, record, not so great. History.
If it goes to game seven and they lose, they will get booed off the ice. They like everything. I've never seen the ACC this rocking for like the ever. And if they lose, I think they'll get booed off the ice. It will change up real quick.
They yeah. have like, I feel like after that game three,
if I was Dubas, I'd be leaving in an armored vehicle tomorrow. Game seven.
If I was any of those players, I'd be leaving in an armored vehicle.
Like, just show up tomorrow and I'll be happy, man. Like, please.
Please win. I do like what they're saying. This game means nothing if we don't win the next one, or at least win the series. So they're saying the right things for the most part. I will say that.
The Leafs have this habit. I mean, we spent the most time talking about the Leafs. I'm sorry.
I know.
We always do this. But they have this habit of, after having an incredible performance, they'll just show up the next day and shit the bed. It's happened all series. Game one, great performance. Game two, nothing. Game three, great performance. Game four, the worst I've ever seen them play. And then they follow that up with game five, looking like garbage, coming back and winning. I'm expecting, you know, them to not show up tomorrow. I wasn't even watching the game after the first period yesterday.
It did look bad.
I was like, on the, it I was looked like it could have no been coming just... back. It could have been 6-0.
I was so pissy. My parents tried to talk to me and I was
Dude,
like,
we were like, what are we doing in the off season? Trade Marner, what potential Marner trades.
Trip
man.
To see
yes.
It was on Overdrive. We're talking about that. They were like, I wonder how many tweets got deleted and stuff.
I'm not deleting anything. I'm
Yo,
standing
Tiedison
by my
turning
stuff.
Point was so funny when it was Sid Sixero going, I'm so tired of seeing William Nylander or something like that. I've had enough of William Nylander. Clown so hard, man.
Yeah.
Goes bar down.
Everyone had the passion, man. The Leafs were buzzing in the second period. I was like, okay, I kind of have faith going into the third. And then it happened. And I was like, my mom went to bed at like 8:30 and I woke her up three times.
Who goes to bed at 8:30 though?
She got food poisoning. Oh, okay. She got food poisoning. So she got sick throughout the day. And this morning she's like, I heard you hooping and hollering. And I was like, I'm sorry, but I'm also not. And she's like, it's fine. But okay, Carolina, Boston. Carolina is currently up 3-2. I had Carolina winning in six. Almost all of them could be accurate, except right now, at least for me, except for Pittsburgh, because I didn't have Pittsburgh winning that series, which it looks like they're going to do. Carolina, Boston. What do we think is going to happen there? The next game's in Boston.
I think it's surprising that I think Boston is going to win this one in seven, but I think it's as expected for that team because they don't have. They don't have goaltending. Swayman and Ullmark aren't going to carry it.
No, they took a gamble on goaltending in the off season, and it didn't work. It doesn't seem.
New York pitcher's 2-2. By the way,
yeah. Martin gave his jinx.
Oh, apparently. New York just scored two quick ones.
Yeah. Ty, you think Boston's going to win in seven?
Yes, I hope so.
Oh, yeah, true. You just hope so.
Just because you hate Carolina.
Man, that Tony D'Angelo throwing the stick at Brad Marchand, like, trying to stop the goal, that was so corny.
Yeah.
That was extremely corny. What a loser.
I think Carolina wins the next game. I think I had Boston winning originally, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have enough faith in them right now.
All right. So Martin's kind of switching it up. New York, Pittsburgh. Who do we have winning here?
Oh, I think Pittsburgh wins tonight.
You think Pittsburgh wins in five?
I don't think there's any way that they can win three in a row against Pittsburgh.
No.
No.
Yeah. I think Pittsburgh wins the series and likely tonight, but I think they probably win overall.
Okay.
Crosby just looks too fucking good. Like that line.
It's now 3-2 Rangers, by the way.
Yeah, New York's dominating.
Yeah, New York's looking
really good.
The shots are 22-13 right now, so it shows.
But yeah, I don't know. I still like Pittsburgh.
All right. I mean, if Shesterkin can show up for two elimination games, then
it's possible. It's possible.
He's let in 2 goals on 14 shots tonight. So
I know. It's not great. I don't know what's happened to him. He's had a pretty rough last month of the year, didn't he, too?
No, he was rough, and then he sorted it out a little bit.
Bounced back.
Yeah.
I think that rough patch, though, ruined his Hart Trophy chance.
Yes. For sure.
Because that was when Matthews was going like...
Oh, it's now 3-3.
Oh, my God. What the hell is happening?
My stream is so far behind, that means.
That's... This game's going crazy. I'm on just on TSN. It still shows 3-2.
That was bad.
Okay.
What were we just saying about Shesterkin? Anyway, we're watching a live game. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
The next thing that we have on our list.
Live on Friday for these people.
Yeah, live on Friday. Yeah. The game's over. Everyone's done their feedback. They're getting ready for the next game or game six or whatever by that point. Okay. The next thing we have to talk about is Barry Trotz. Barry Trotz was fired by Lou Lamoriello. Everyone was shocked. Literally no one saw this coming. There was no that's Lou Lamoriello style, is that he just does what he does and there's no leaks. What was, I think, the most telling part was that he didn't talk to any of the players. According to him, he's like, why would I talk to the players? This is my decision. And I'm paraphrasing there. I thought that was a joke. Like, I actually thought that was like a satirical tweet when I first
read it. He did talk to, like, he had end of year interviews, right? Like, so he probably gathered a bunch of information from that.
That's like, true. He probably did ask. But I mean, even then, their season's been done for a while. This is like 3 weeks late. Yeah. I mean, normally that's made the first week of the playoffs, right?
It's like a big decision. It would be a big decision, right? Like firing the guy that's taking you to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what we were all saying. This guy takes you to two Western Conference or Eastern Conference Finals, and then gets fired in the first month. Like he won Lou Lamoriello 2 GM of the Year awards with shitty rosters.
Yeah,
like, and we were critical of those GM of the Year awards both the years that Lou Lamoriello won, because like, what does a guy actually do other than sign really old guys that Barry Trotz carried on the back of his shoulder with the systems on teams that couldn't score but could play good defense? Like, that's really all it was. So, Martin, what do you think about the firing?
That tweet.
Who's banging pots and pans in the background?
I know, eh? He needs to shut up. That tweet was bad. Pretty illuminating. Like, the ones talking about it was either Barzell or Trotz, and they went with Barzell, which makes sense. You're paying Barzell a lot more than you're paying Trotz. And if there was any problem there, like, you have to rely that Barzell is going to be your future and Trotz is a movable piece. Like, there's other coaches that can get you there. Trotz just made that team work. I think they have to do a lot more now, but obviously they had to do a lot because they weren't in the playoffs and they weren't looking good to make the playoffs ever in this past year. So I think they have some stuff to do in the offseason. They have a good goalie in Sorokin coming up. And
the only reason why they ever went this far was because of Barry Trotz. Like,
but I've like, what I understand about hockey is, even with a coach like Barry Trotz, it's hard to stay like that, to stay listening to the same voice. He gets stale. It gets, I don't know, like, the messaging doesn't hit the same, I guess.
Why is that not the case with John Cooper?
I think John Cooper is a different breed, to be honest. He's like I like I really like John Cooper. It's probably because he's a lawyer, like an ex-lawyer. So I think he's probably a lot smarter than a lot of these coaches, to be honest. Like he probably has way more brain cells than a lot of these fucking coaches. Like, did he ever play? Like, not at a high level.
No, I don't think he played high level. I think he started coaching pretty young. Actually, the interview with him on Spinning Chicklets, I'm going to get canceled for saying this, it was actually like pretty good. I remember where I was listening to it on my drive back from BC, and I was like, this is just a really good interview. Like, yeah, I enjoyed it. It was really good.
I feel like he's a smart dude.
Oh, I feel like he's definitely the smartest coach in the league. Like, yeah. I don't even really think it's close. I think even the way he interacts with the media, I think he's one of the very few coaches that actually explains things better about what he's doing. Even though most coaches don't give a lot of insights on what they're doing, I think you kind of hear him hinting at a deeper level of the game than most people would in an interview. Mm-hmm. That's just me, but I'm always curious about how his voice didn't go stale when they got swept, went to a couple of conference finals, and then went to win two cups. I think he just has his players respect him probably an insane amount.
I'm sure his relationship with Stamkos must be pretty fucking tight. Like because Stamkos has been captain for so long. He's been coach for what, 10 years? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. But back to Trotz, a voice like his would probably get stale. And it probably would be, and if you got figured out with the same players, the same strategy with the same players, like, and it was clearly figured out this past year, I think the firing makes sense.
Like, this team is fucked. The team is no prospects. Their world, their coach is gone. They have, a roster of 30 plus year old players, right? Barzal has been actually really bad since his rookie year.
You don't really have hope for them. I thought you were going to continue your thought. You just kind of just stopped.
They're done.
Like, I think they should go into like a kind of rebuild mode.
They can't. They've traded away everything for Pajot and Palmieri and, signed some long-term deals.
Yeah. Okay, so the Islanders are just going to be garb for the next 5 years.
It finally
which
happened,
I'm okay
right?
with. I hate the Islanders.
It finally happened. Years of people writing them off.
Yeah.
They were so bad this year, and Sorokin put up like almost a .930 save percentage this year.
Did I say Sorokin earlier?
Yeah.
I might have
said. Yeah, you did say
Sorokin. Okay, perfect, perfect.
But it's like, yeah, and they did have challenges. They faced COVID twice, I think, on the team.
They started off 20 games on the road this year.
Yeah, 13 games on the road, which has got to be challenging. Like, they started in a pretty big hole, probably exhausted for the rest of the year.
Missing, before they got shut down for COVID, they were missing like 16 regulars within five games of the season or something.
It is now 3-0 Capitals, everybody, just so you know.
Let's go. Ooh, let's go. Oh, man, I'm shocked that the Capitals are doing this. I think it's pretty crazy. But that they fired Trotz. A lot of fans were upset. A lot of like the professional writing community was like, "What? Why did you fire this guy?" But Ty, why do you look so confused?
I was gonna say that I think that I think that he's done coaching. I think he wants a front office job. Yeah.
I heard that too. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that they transition well. Like a coach, what they do is tactical and they manage players. Like day to day, that's essentially what they do.
I don't think it's GM. There's like other front office positions, right? So
what do you want to do? Like player development, relationships.
I don't know what other positions there are because obviously we're not behind the scenes, but like, I'm sure you could find something.
I guess
he's obviously not a dummy. Like we're talking about Cooper being really smart. Trotz obviously isn't a dummy with his systems and stuff. Like he seems like a decently intelligent person.
Yeah,
so he could do it. Plus, all boys club. He'll get a position.
Maybe Yzerman picks him up, convinces him to coach.
That's the other thing. He'll get a coaching job if he wanted one.
If he wanted one, he's got every vacancy, I'm sure, on his and non-vacancy.
O'Neal was talking about it. Like, he was like, he could easily get 5x5. Like,
yeah.
He's that.
Las Vegas would probably fire DeBoer in a minute for him.
Yes.
San Jose would probably fire. Who do they have? Bugner. For him.
There's
a lot of teams that I think would fire their coach for.
There's like playoff teams in still that would probably fire, like, get out and fire the coach. Yeah. And fire him.
I was gonna say, like, fire Keith, have Trotz meet them for game six.
I made that joke after the first game of the last game. I was like, fire Keith, bring in Trotz right now. I don't care what you got to do. Okay, now the Calder Trophy. We found out today that Bunting, Sider, and Zegras are the top three. Who's your vote, Martin? Who do you think should win?
Fucking Sider will win this by a mile.
Sider wasn't even the best rookie defenseman. I just want to make that very clear. It was Timothy Liljegren who was.
Shut up. Sider played every game.
Ty was hating on Timothy Liljegren all year until like the last three games.
I told you I needed to write a notes app, official notes app policy.
Yeah, but it took you all year to get to that point.
Okay, he was garbage at some points. And then Giordano came.
Exactly. Like, Sider has been
good. Sider was garbage. Okay. Sider on a garbage on a team. Sider played on a team that gave up 11 goals, 10 goals, 9 goals, 8 goals twice.
Bro. Who the fuck did they have in net?
Alex Nedeljkovic, who was a Calder nominee last year.
Yeah, okay. Nedeljkovic showed his true colors in the playoffs last year.
Okay, Martin. Okay.
I banked hard on Carolina last year in the playoffs, and Nedeljkovic failed me, so that's why Carolina got rid of him.
I'm just saying, Michael Bunting had the best rookie season. He's the oldest player on his line, sure. But he had the
I
best
do kind of agree with Luke on this one. Like, Bunting, definitely big technicality that he's not ineligible, because he's played like a season with like 15 games or something in the NHL.
My issue is less with I think it's his line mates that do a lot of the heavy lifting, and then two, I don't know if his age is like, yes, he's eligible, but. Either way, I think what he's doing is less impressive, like, than a 21-year-old would, with especially on worse teams. Like, that's it. I think Bunting's a good player. I think he's really good. I've enjoyed him this year. I just don't think he should get it. And that is primarily due to his age, I will say. I still think he's eligible. Based on the eligibility, yes, he could get it, but I just don't.
Let's be honest.
I don't know. I'm not going to be like a homer about it. Like,
he probably just got nominated. It'll be Sider that wins it. Bunting will probably come third.
Boom. You know who should have also gotten a nomination?
Raymond.
No. Tanner Janot.
I thought you were going to say Timothy Liljegren.
Tanner Janot?
Janot. Isn't it Janot or Janot?
I think it's Janot.
It's Janot.
Yo, is your friend eating with like the biggest spoon in the world?
I don't fucking know what he's doing in there. Like, I can't see him. He's around the corner.
By the way, it's now 3-3.
I said this.
We already knew
No, TSN has the logos wrong on the website. So it shows Washington, Florida 3-0, but with the Penguin New York Rangers logo. And then 3-3 between Pittsburgh, New York, but with Florida, Washington. So I was like, Florida scored 3 goals since Ty said it's 3-0.
Can we talk about how trash TSN online website is? Like, .ca.
Their website's so
Their
bad.
Streaming always cuts out, like, all the fucking time. It's super annoying. Yeah.
But they have better panels.
Their content's good. They just have a shitty app and a shitty .ca. Like, they need to sort that shit out. If anyone from TSN listens, get on that. On to Darnell Nurse.
Yeah, we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, we can skip it. It's a dumb play.
Deserves suspension.
Yeah.
Should have been longer.
It's crazy how much like McDavid hates Philippe Deneau and the rest of his team hate Philippe Deneau, because last year he kept getting shut down by him.
I will say it's crazy how much hate Philip Deneau gets. Like, that guy, that's the guy that got, do you remember that awful hit that ended up with the changing of how the boards are, how the glass is structured by the benches? Because
that was Max Pacioretty.
Oh, that was Pacioretty. Oh, my bad, my bad.
Martin. My bad. Martin.
What? Both on Montreal. Both on Montreal.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah, Darnell Nurse, I just thought like they should have done the same thing as the Kadri incident, which is ban or suspend until the series is over. One game or two games. Like I think that I like that method of suspension because it means it actually gives it way more value than just one game. I mean, well, I don't know.
At the same time, Luke, then you're saying this is actually should be a three-game suspension or a two-game suspension. But we're just going to give it potentially one game instead.
Actually, what I'm saying is it should screw over the team as long as possible.
Yeah.
Well, then screw them over into next season. Then just give it a two-game suspension. He's not coming back for the series in any case. And if they lose, he misses the first game of the season.
I don't know. I don't think that works.
Because when Kadri got suspended,
it was either a one game suspension or a three game suspension, right? Because it went all the way to game. It went from game three to game seven. I think I
like Luke what Luke was saying, especially later in a series. Like,
yeah, those games have way more value.
Yeah, like game six and game seven for the Oilers are very valuable.
Chris Russell's got to play tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't like. I don't think I like cross seasonal suspensions. I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially like what if they get traded? There's a lot of things that could come up. You're going to be like, I'm trading for a guy that is sitting for a game or two. Yeah. Okay. That's really all I had to say. Draft lottery, Montreal won.
We'll do a scouting analysis. Yeah. We'll do Shane a scouting. Wright.
We won't have, Rachel Dory on this year's podcast this summer to do it unless God forbid she gets fired or something or leaves Vancouver. What were you going to say, Ty, about Shane Wright?
I'd say that he's getting written off a lot because I think people also forget that he missed a full year of development last year, right?
He didn't
play in the OHL at all. It's really unfortunate because he had a really good, you know, his draft minus two season, right? When he was 15 or 16 years old in Kingston. Maybe Martin went and scouted him. Chief Scout Martin, maybe you got to see him. No,
I have not.
He was really good.
Kingston's in a bad spot right now in the playoffs.
I think that
they're down 2-1, I believe.
I think he got written off because he didn't like light things up. Like people are expecting when someone comes in as an exceptional player now in the OHL, they're thinking it's Connor McDavid, right?
Yeah.
Blowing the water out. John Tavares even, right? When he was the last, I think. And Aaron Ekblad as well. But I think we're the last three big ones. I think people are writing off Shane Wright a bit because he's not blowing the doors off, but he still had a great year, I'd say.
Yeah, I think he's should
I think
be
he's a clear cut. He's a clear cut
number one. Yeah.
He like what a lot of people are saying.
He'll step into the NHL too.
Yeah. I think he might be like a prime John Tavares. You know, that's what some people are comparing him to. You know, so
it helps Montreal.
At worst, you're getting like a Ryan Nugent Hopkins type player, I'd say.
Rumors that Ottawa is trading pick 7, and I hope they do.
They're going to trade up and draft another Tyler Boucher.
No. Trade for a player. Trade. I'm here in Minnesota. Trade for Kevin Fiala. One could hope. Pray.
Okay. Anyway, Martin, that's not the
hope,
draft lottery.
Hope.
We'll give a whole thing. But anyone writing off Shane Wright, I think, is dumb. But I think next year is the year he wanted to win the draft lottery. Number one or number two, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, the last topic we have is Ty mentioned earlier this week in the group chat that Pierre was fired from Ottawa by the Senators. I thought 100% he was referring to Pierre Dorion because I was like, that would make sense. Pierre McGuire just got there 10 months ago. What's the point? Isn't Pierre McGuire like above Pierre?
My buddy was saying,
I wasn't really sure, but
my buddy Nate, who follows Ottawa closer than I do, and I go for him for most of my information, was saying that Pierre Maguire was more than likely a Melnick hire, and he actually probably didn't even inform Dorian that was happening, and Dorian was not impressed by the hiring. This came out last year, like when the hiring happened. So I guess it was just like written in the cards that Maguire.
But who's above Maguire right now?
Dorian.
Like
Dorian.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought like Maguire was like the, like a president or something like that. Okay. So who who's below the owner? Like, because Melnick's gone.
Melnick, like
his children are technically owners.
Yeah. It was an awkward situation because Melnick was owner and CEO. Or like president of the team, right? So we're currently, I don't know if one of his daughters per se stepped in and is the president, or like a lawyer is currently president or what. Like that's not really being talked about. But yeah, it was probably recommended by Dorian to whoever the president is that, hey, get this guy the fuck out of this organization. He's a plague on society. So Pierre managed to fuck up one draft and is now out on his ass where he should be.
How do you feel about, okay, yeah, so I made the joke. He drafted Tyler Boucher, what, 10th overall last year?
Yeah.
Signed Michael Delzotto to a 2-year deal. Traded for Travis Hamonic,
yep,
and said, my work here is done.
Well, I don't think Pierre said his work here was done. He got told his work here was done, which, I mean, this year wasn't going to be very good for them. A number 10 pick is could be great, could not be great. Obviously, it's not a surefire thing, right? And obviously, drafting a guy like Tyler Boucher is not a good odds to be a sure thing. But what are you going to do? Hamnick's here for what, like one more year or something? Probably won't be here all year. Delzotto is like a nothing contract too. Like it's whatever. It's what, like his moves were whatever. He's gone.
Are they on the right track, Martin?
A bad blip on the memory.
Is your team on the right track, Martin, making the playoffs next year?
Making the playoffs is tough. If you're writing Florida off, though, I don't know who you're replacing them with. But you're writing Florida off. I'm writing Boston off. Like, I don't have much faith that Boston can come back without Bergeron, without Rask, with the goaltending they have. Not looking great for them. Who else? Like Buffalo, I think the Sens, I think Buffalo showed a little more than they are this year, and I think the Sens are on the right track, especially if they do trade this number 7. Can you imagine a Kevin Fiala skating around on that team? I think it looks a lot better.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I think Pierre Maguire being gone is good for the Sens, bad for TV.
I think he was going to be the next GM. If Eugene was still here, I think Dorian's contract is up this year. I think Pierre would have been GM.
Yeah.
Unfortunate we didn't get to see that.
If he shows up on the TV again, bro, I swear to God. Pierre Maguire is the biggest moron in sport.
Yeah. Probably. I hope,
like, more than Anthony Stewart, which is
sad. I'd be so mad if TSN gives him a contract or something. Like, I would flip.
I'll never forget when I was watching the Canada versus Russia in the 2009 World Juniors when they tie it up and Gord Miller's like, can you believe it? When Eberle scores with like 5 seconds left to tie the game. And then Pierre Maguire goes, I can believe it because Russia iced the puck. It was like a rhetorical question, Pierre.
I hate him. I hate Maguire so much. He was a bane of my existence for the past 10 months. And you just worried what he would do next, what he would try to say next and stuff. Yeah. Apparently he was a PR. He was supposed to be PR or something for Ottawa. And he did his initial press conference. And you never heard from Pierre Maguire again. the whole year. So like, whatever.
That was pretty weird. He was hired, then mummed. For a guy that's on TV all the time, like, he's definitely media trained, so it doesn't really make much sense. Okay, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with round two previews, probably at that point. We'll know who everyone who's playing in round two. Probably be a couple days late again, like we were this time, but we got decent hockey for the first round, I would say. But that's it for this week, folks. We'll see ya. Maybe Eric will be back next week. He said he was going to be here this week and he didn't show up. Classic Eric. I won't be here next week, actually.
We're doing it Tuesday.
Okay, unless we record on Tuesday, I guess. So I will be.
Bye.
All right, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.